And welcome back to Planet Waves FM's continuing coverage of the United Astrology Conference, UAC, here in New Orleans, Louisiana. I am now sitting with Moses Sirigar III. Did I say it right?
Yes.
Moses Sirigar III, the founder of the BLAST Astrology Conference. He started that, I think, in 2007. Is that correct? In the spring of 07. And the author of The Black God's War, a science fiction fantasy novel, I guess, as I saw it advertised when you were looking for an editor to help you edit said book. And someone who's basically just been around the astrology scene for a while, one of the young upstarts, who I would say has made a real contribution to the field. So welcome to Planet Waves FM, Moses.
Thank you.
Now, your topic is one that I get asked about a lot and that I think is an interesting and potentially controversial subject, and I'll run some of my theories past you when we've heard yours.
Great.
Which is locational astrology, which basically in part involves projecting the astrology chart onto a map and seeing what would be angular in any given place, what planet would be emphasized by the geography of any given place. So, for example, you might have Jupiter in the fifth house in your natal chart where you were born, but where are you going to go to move that Jupiter up to the seventh house and experience it in a more direct relational way, basically? And I've seen this work pretty well, actually. I have a list of caveats I put on locational astrology, which I'll tell you about one of them, an effect I've noticed of it. But let's talk about this. You're on the east-west track. You're teaching on Sunday morning, and you are on the, now, how did you get this onto the east-west track? In other words, the merging of Eastern and Western astrology.
Right. Well, I do a lot with Vedic astrology as well as Western. I started Western, and then I've learned a whole lot of Vedic. And so this is a talk about locational astrology from a Western point of view and an Eastern point of view, and what they sort of have to teach each other a little bit about locational astrology. Because, you know, if you have Venus at the midheaven somewhere, like you're saying, it's true whether you do Western astrology or Vedic astrology. The difference in the zodiac doesn't matter. So, but they're going to interpret many things differently. So it's kind of looking at that, and I think it's going to be a lot about what I've learned in Vedic astrology and how I can apply that to Western astrology, to natal charts, and particularly to locational work. The other thing about location I'll mention is I'm one of the contributing authors to the book Astrology the Next Generation, which you've probably heard about. That's on sale here.
Mm-hmm.
Frank Clifford and Demetrius, Bagley put it together. And so I wrote an article for that you might find interesting. It's about locational astrology, and it's about how the common idea, which is what you said, the most common idea of locational astrology are your angular planets, the planets that were angular at the time of your birth, and that's what astrocartography is famous for. But I do think that we overuse that a little bit, and I think we aren't sometimes sophisticated enough in how we analyze those lines. And so my article in that book is a lot about how you have to be careful with those lines and why you have to be careful with them, because they're very, very powerful. And basically, if you move to, you know, your Sun line or your Venus line or your Jupiter line, you get everything that planet is going to promise in your birth chart. And you can look at that from a Western point of view or an Eastern point of view or any other point of view that you're proficient with. So I have that article in that book, and then I'll be talking about some of the Eastern and Western side of it on my UAC lecture.
Okay, so you're basically applying Vedic concepts to astrocartography, in a sense.
Somewhat.
And taking it. Okay, so how would you describe it?
Well, I mean, with interpretation, I mean, for example, you may have a chart with Venus in Libra in someone's tropical chart, their Western astrology, and then it ends up being a Venus in Virgo in sidereal astrology. Now, I'm just saying one really simple,
for example.
Simple thing. There's a lot of complexities, but this is just one very simple thing. So you might have a Western astrologer who really likes this Venus in Libra and sort of jumps up and down and says, yeah, yeah, it's your Venus line. And then you go to the Vedic astrologer and he goes, oh, that's your Venus in Virgo. She's, you know, blah, 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 where, you know, this is the traditional fall or, you know, position for Venus. And so that Vedic astrologer might be very concerned about that same Venus line. I feel very like that's too small what I'm saying right there. Just one tiny little thing I'm talking about, but that's the kind of problem you get into. So you have to interpret things from both points of view, I think. And then there are just some neat Vedic concepts that you can use in Western astrology. They work, you know, perfectly well. And for example, ideas about the moon's nodes that they have that are different than we tend to think of in the West. And so we'll talk about that and lots of little fun little things.
So in practical terms, how would you apply this to the life of a client?
Well, you know, you have to look at the goals the person has. You know, why are they moving? Are they moving because they want to go be the world's most famous rock star? Do they want to retire and just have a nice mellow life? And by the way, that may determine whether or not you want to be on an angular
line at all. You may want to be offline.
Absolutely.
Where it's a little more chill.
Yeah, yeah. You know, because if you do want to be famous and you do want to experience every single thing life can offer you, you want everything to be intense, good and bad. You want friends, you want enemies, you want everything, you want whatever. You know, the strong lines are more likely to give you strong experiences. But a lot of times they're uncomfortable for the long term. People can get these powerful experiences on a strong line, but long term it's just too intense. And so sometimes people do better off their lines or like moderate strength, like maybe 200 or 300 or 400 miles from a line instead of within, you know, 50 miles of the line. But it depends on the planet. You might have the world's best Venus, and you may want to get as much of that Venus as you could possibly get for whatever reasons you, mm-hmm. you have for that, you know. So it really depends on the chart. And then again, I use the Western and the Vedic stuff together. So if I see like this fantastic planet and it shows up in both charts, that's a line you might want to consider. But there are other things you can do with the planet too, besides put it on one of those major lines, and that's some additional techniques that we can look at too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get into geodetics, you get into some of the intermediate house cusps and how you can play with those in a chart. There are local space lines and lots of fun stuff. It's a fascinating web of stuff that just keeps on going.
Have you moved around a lot?
Pretty good, yeah. Pretty decent amount. Not as much as some people, but yeah, I've moved enough to get a lot of different experiences.
Yeah, because someone pointed out earlier that it's really essential for somebody doing locational to have moved around a bit so they can actually feel the whole system working.
Yeah, that's probably what sold me on it, you know, because I've lived under a Scorpio rising, a Libra rising, a Virgo rising, different angular planets, non-angular planets, all sorts of conditions, different parents, different latitudes, different local space, and it's so, you know, it's to me, I'm obviously I'm a big believer. This is mainly what I do, so this is my full-time type of work, and I like it because it's so practical. Like, I feel like I can really, really make a practical difference in that person's life. Like, oh, you're thinking of moving to where you have Saturn on the IC and you have, you know, this sort of grisly-looking Mars sitting on the 8th house cusp of your chart there, and it's a Saturn-Mars Perrin right there.
What is a Perrin again?
A Perrin, the lines of latitude, so they're going to go east to west on a map. It's a combination of two planets, and the way that the lines actually form is that two of the major astrocartography lines will actually cross somewhere at that latitude.
That's a Perrin.
So it's there's a spot at that latitude where you've got one planet on one of the angles and another planet on one of the other angles, drawn in, but astronomically, literally, you know, the planet is literally rising. The planet is literally culminating.
Mm-hmm.
And then a Perrin is formed there. So that person who says, oh, yeah, I'm thinking of moving to that location that I just described, my job is to say, you may want to reconsider that because X, Y, and Z, because that sounds very difficult in that case, for example. And then there's those times when you can just try to just move the pieces around until you get them just where they look like they'd be nice and happy. Then you say, well, that might be a good place.
And do you send the person there to visit?
Yep. Check it out. See how you feel, you know. You always got to be aware the birth time could be wrong. You do your checks to make sure it seems to be working. I look back over all the places they've lived in the past, and I say, okay, when you mm-hmm. lived here, did this happen? When you lived here, did this happen? Okay. Good, you know. But you still always have to be, you know, a little careful about that. So you want to check it out. Not only could the birth time be wrong, but the astrologer could be wrong. No matter how much you know, of course you can be wrong. So you see how things feel. But I do tend to feel if I'm accurate about your past, hopefully I'll be accurate about the future.
It's good for some pattern recognition. I mean, I always check the transits when I'm doing someone's natal chart. I check their history of Chiron transits or certain other big events, Saturn doing something, just to get a sense of how the chart works when you turn up the juice.
Yep.
How it works under certain periods of stress or increased creative energy, that kind of thing. And it's informative. And the journaling exercise I give people, they love it. I think I could almost sell the journaling dates as a kind of a personal workbook. So checking the past is helpful as long as you know that it's not a strict precedent. We always have that bit of choice. Mm-hmm. So here's my example from my own life about locational astrology.
Okay.
I have a Neptune line going down the West Coast, straight clear down the Cascades, down through San Francisco and Los Angeles. It's like as straight as it can be down the West Coast. So I always knew I was going to live on the West Coast at some point. And mm-hmm. the Neptune line has certain properties, maybe a little bit isolated, Neptunian, dreamy, creative. There's a creative energy, but there's that also that Neptune quality of isolation that can happen. So, as it turns out, when I moved to the West Coast, I didn't move to San Francisco. I didn't move to L.A. I moved to Vashon Island. I moved to the most Neptunian place you could live on the Neptune line.
Right.
So from that one experience, I developed a little theory of checking out where on the line the person is moving, since obviously all things are not equal. An island without a bridge is a special place in the world. There's not a bridge to get there.
Right.
And so I might have been... Now, I had great things happen on Vashon Island. I mean, I met Chelsea on Vashon Island, right? My business partner, right? So I couldn't give that back for the world, but I had all the experiences of a challenged Neptune-type experience. And I'm very Neptunian. I've got a lot of Pisces and so forth. So what I've learned to do from that is to check the location that the person is choosing, since obviously, in my case, the Haight-Ashbury is on my Neptune line, and Vashon Island is on my Neptune line, and they're very different.
Right.
So
right.
To do an environment check.
Sure.
And to make sure that the properties of the line are not exaggerated too much, or that the person knows that if you move to a fiery place and on a fiery line, make sure you know you're going to get a lot of that enhanced by the environment itself.
Yeah, environment, huge. And there's so many factors to consider. I mean... you know, we've become used to the idea of, you know, the Neptune line being the thing, and it is the most powerful thing that you have there. But there are a lot of other pieces of that puzzle, you know, and the pairings will be different at Haight-Ashbury versus Vashon Island, and the local space may be completely different. And you might relocate...
I mean, when you really blow the map up and you look for how the lines extrapolate down to a very small geographic area.
Yep. Different techniques, different types of lines will give you different information. You know, you could have the ascendant change between those two places, even though they're, you know, just north and south of each other.
Mm-hmm.
That will change a whole lot of things. And so there's lots of ingredients in the stew, you know. One of the things I hope to, you know, talk about and write about and such, that we, you know, those major lines are the most important things, the most powerful things, but they really are just, you know, if I was going to make a pie chart, they probably would be, I don't know, a fourth of the pie chart. You know, there's still a whole lot of other pieces of that puzzle to look at, but they're so powerful. You go there and you feel them right away. You know, they're dramatic, and they will dominate your life in a lot of ways, along with some of the other influences, but they'll dominate the life if you're close to that line. So it's major stuff, and sometimes I think astrologers are a little too quick to say, oh, you should go live on your Venus line, or you should go live on your Jupiter line. There may be any number of reasons why you don't want to do that. So I try to do that with my work, and, you know, look at all those fine details and really see if it at all adds up or not.
Yeah, I think that's an important role for a professional astrologer. That's the difference basically between amateur and professional, is that there are so many considerations that we have to take into account. And we have the experience, hopefully, of hundreds or thousands of clients who we have learned from. We're the repository of all of those experiences, basically. And it helps a lot to have that and to be learning as we go. The clients are the school. Really?
Yeah.
So what else? What about living on your home, near your home chart?
Well, you know, it's sort of a double dose of yourself. and it's so, therefore, how you grow up. If you live in a place where you grew up, that the resonance of that energy is always with you, more or less. You know, let's say you have some difficult things growing up, and you have some difficult lines to prove it. Then, you know, you might even move, you know, a few hours north or south. If you're still on that same line, you're still getting the same resonance of the same thing. So if you didn't really like growing up in that place, you may not want to live in that place, you know. Mm-hmm. You may not. And some people will do things where they'll stay, in, you know, they're born in Minnesota, and then they'll move to a different part of Minnesota, and then they'll move a little bit over to here, but they don't go very far. And, you know, sometimes you get people that just stay in the same region of the country, and they end up having basically the same type of chart everywhere they go. There are some differences as you move, always, but some people end up, well, you know, I might look at someone's chart and say, well, look at this pattern. You've always had this pattern. You've always lived in a place where your stellium is in the eighth house, always, you know. You've moved 10 times, and you've always had that.
That would fit, wouldn't it?
You know, right. And then, well, you... Here, if you want to try something completely different, here's something else you could try. And here it moves, everything moves to the ninth house, and it would be quite different for you to have 10 planets in the ninth.
Yeah, I think one thing most people have to do is move somewhere at some point. Get the fuck out. Get out of Dodge for a while and see what it's like. Cross an ocean and stay there for a while. Give it all up and try it. And I think that these travel experiences and these sort of extended travel experiences really shape adult consciousness in a way that's very helpful, especially for Americans who tend to be very insular in their thinking without realizing that that's what we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Americans are lucky because we do have a lot of real estate to play with. You can go from Maine over to Hawaii to Alaska and everywhere.
You can get far without a passport.
So you can experience quite a few different things even just in the U.S. if you do all that. And mm-hmm. and I have moved east-west a lot in Hawaii and, you know, New Jersey and all these places in between. So
and you're now where? You're still in Arizona?
Yep, in northern Arizona in Prescott, not so far from Sedona, which is where we've had the BLAST conference. The two conferences we did were in Sedona. Even though it's an hour and a half drive for me to get over there, but
terrible.
Yeah, so I live up in the mountains in a pine forest in a big A-frame cabin, and these days I stay at home and write, working on my epic fantasy. I got my first book out last August, and working on the sequel right now. And it's neat to weave a lot of astrological themes into the books, like the Black God's War. This is a book in a lot of ways about Pluto and Saturn. You know, there's literally a dark god figure in the story who I rip off a lot of ideas from astrology.
From Dick Cheney.
You know, and which is fun. It's fun to take the lessons I've learned, you know, from Pluto and, you know, kind of torture my major characters with that from the actual figure in the story. And then they go through the catharsis and the growth and the understanding. You know, while there's this war going on around, there's all sorts of fun magic and gods and things like that.
So your natal Pluto is in Libra.
Yes.
And so you've had Saturn conjunct Pluto as this book has come out, right?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, my natal Pluto is 7, so the book actually came out in August. But over this time, you know, yeah, I've had... Saturn, you know, a lot of these hard cardinal transits have been hitting the Pluto in my chart, and my moon is 4 degrees Cancer. And what basically happened is, you know, I thought my life was going to be over. I thought everything was going to be destroyed, knock on wood. I just changed. I just became a novelist. And I'm still an astrologer, but all of a sudden I learned how to write fiction and worked on it really, really hard for a couple of years and was totally devoted.
It's not that easy. You're building the whole world. You don't have any notes to work from, really.
Yeah.
You have to get every detail right.
There's so many things about writing fiction you can get wrong. And so I was writing, you know, literally Saturn and Pluto, right, by transit were aspecting my moon and my natal Pluto, and I wrote a book called The Black God's War and how it affects this woman who has these sort of early life traumas, and she's this, you know, she's eventually comes to be in charge of this kingdom, and she has lots of interesting relationships with that black god and doesn't understand why he's been torturing her whole life, and then by the end of the book she starts to understand some things that she didn't understand most of her life. So I got totally devoted to doing that for a while, and that was been a lot of fun. So
awesome,
yeah,
yeah. So keep growing and keep changing. I'm wondering if there's another BLAST conference in the future.
I would like to do one. I need to feel it, you know.
Yep.
I need to feel it. And one of the reasons we did two, and we almost did a third one. I had sent out some invitations. I had started to make plans. I reserved the place, and then just kind of didn't feel it. The economy, you know, for years now has been kind of pattering along, so that was certainly one consideration. You don't want to do something where, you know, it's not going to work, but there's that, and then I don't know, I guess I've been doing astrology since I was, you know, what, 18 or something.
Your
like
mom
that.
Is an astrologer, is that true?
Yeah, I'm 36 now, so I've been doing astrology about half my life, and I've always wanted to be a storyteller also, you know, I've always wanted to do something like that, and so I really have had a lot of fun doing the novels, and I'm still doing work with my clients, but to put on a conference, I need to be totally committed to it.
It's a big job.
You know, and I'm not in that place right now, and I may be, you know, I may be in a year or two. So I'm definitely keeping the door open, but we'll see. We'll see if it ever comes back around. Mm-hmm. I think we did a good thing with those two conferences. You know, we got a lot of people together and promoted a lot of new astrologers and young astrologers and created more community and just sent a lot of positive ripples out into the astrological community. A lot of those people now are speaking at UAC, for example, and things like that. So it was a really good thing to do. It definitely was needed at that time, and you know, maybe if Gotham ever needs us again, you know, we'll put on the black man cape and go out and do another conference. I don't know.
Got it. Awesome. Good. Well, thanks for sharing your information with our Planet Waves FM listeners. And once again, the book is called The Black God's War. This is Moses' first fiction novel, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Your website is what?
Astrologyforthesoul.com. Or if you want to check out my writing stuff, it's sciencefictionfantasy.net.
Awesome. Very good. So I think we're linking to the websites now below the recordings here on Planet Waves FM. All right. So you've been listening to a conversation with Moses Sirigar III, talking about locational astrology. You can reach Moses through his website. My name's Eric Francis. This is part of our ongoing coverage of the United Astrology Conference in New Orleans, Louisiana. Today is May 25th, 2012. We're ending this a little before 3 o'clock on Friday afternoon. Thanks for listening. I'll catch you in a little while.